All right, so today the base scripture is Matthew 10 and 1, and this is chapter 9 of the book Moving in the Apostolic, short chapter, but like I said, next week I will not be on in the morning preparing for the seminar next week, Iron Sharpens Iron. You're going to see a video of me later on today promoting that. Please come out. Please come out next Saturday from 9 to 3, but there's also going to be some it's going to be some prophetic activation. It's going to be some prophetic words given out. It's going to be some prayer. Our goal is to minister to each individual, amen, that comes. Glory be to God. And so make sure that you have a recording device, okay, on your phone or something, so that you can record the prophetic words that we're going to speak over your lives as the Lord leads. I believe it's a great opportunity to get you some training, some equipping for your next leg of the journey. Amen. So I'm gonna type it in the link right now. It's only $15. Only $15. And you're going to be fed lunch. And got some awesome topics. One's called The Chosen Watchman. One question people may ask is, am I a seer? The other one is we're going to talk about the spiritual five senses. And then what is the difference between the office of a prophet and the gift of prophecy? And so we're going to have that. We're going to have those classes. I'm trying to spell here. Next Saturday. So if you're not doing anything, or you are doing anything and you feel like the Lord is leading you to come here instead, then we welcome you. Amen. If you can't come, for whatever reason, I know that there's a lot of things going on. If you can't come, you want to sponsor somebody, just go ahead and still go to the link and then inbox me and let me know that I'm sowing a seed for someone because I'm not able to go. Amen. Whatever we do is for the body of Christ. To train, equip, and to send forth. So we all need to be sending folks out, amen, training them and equipping them. And that's what these ascension gifts are for. Okay? So with that said, I think got my invitations out and everything else. Apostle Dickie Adams is going to be teaching on Am I a Seer? And then we have Minister Jenny Smathers. She's going to be teaching out of, all these are teaching. We're not preaching, we're teaching. I mean, we're going to have handouts, all this kind of stuff. It's going to be good. It's going to be very good. She's going to be teaching on the watchman. Amen. Amen. The watchman. And then my wife and I are going to be teaching on spiritual five senses. And then I'm going to be teaching on the difference between the office of the prophet and the gift of prophecy. So you definitely want to come out. And then we got some awesome prophetic worship. Worship coming by worship leader Jackie Christopherson. Amen. And a whole lot of good stuff for the body of Christ. So preferably you'll be able to come out and attend and join us. Amen. So really, really hoping forward to seeing you guys there. It's not going to be Facebook Live because I think it's unfair to have people pay, amen, for what they're going to receive and then show it out for free. I don't think that's right. So, all right, so we're going to move on. So, it's also the events. Also, you can go through Facebook Live event page and just, you know, type in August 3rd. You'll see it there, or in the search, just type in Iron Sharpens Iron and you should be able to see it, or even the link below, the link that's in the comments. So what is apostolic authority? And so Jesus said in Matthew 10 and 1, he says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. So the first thing that Jesus gave the 12 disciples, what did he give them? He gave them power. Okay, so before you can, I said this yesterday, many of us are self-set, amen, and we're being self, so we're sending ourselves out, and we have no power from the Father, okay? We have no power from the Father, and It is hurting us. Excuse me. It is hurting us, amen, that when we believe that God is sending us out and he is not sending us out with his authority nor his power. Okay, so yeah, power is one of the main things that Christians lack today. And so we see a lot of people that's launching ministries. We see a lot of people that are doing things but don't have and have not been released with the authority and the power to do these things. So we just end up with gatherings but no signs of miracles or wonders or anything that demonstrates apostolic ministry or that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So we don't see none of those things. And so we exert ourselves out of our flesh than being used by the Spirit. Okay. Now, not to say that God is not able to do what he desires to do when he desires to do it, but ministry becomes ministry is really effortless when you are provided and released to do it by the Father. Okay. So let me see, where is that? Alright, so the reason for this is because that they do not understand the connection between authority and the power. Two different words that I'm gonna get to the breakdown in a minute. So if you truly want to walk in power, then you must first learn to walk in and under authority. Okay? So power in this passage is not dunamis. So every time you see the word power, don't think it's dunamis. It's two different Greek definitions. Okay, this one is exousia. Okay, meaning ability, privilege, force, capacity, competency, freedom, mastery, delegated influence, authority, jurisdiction, and strength. Okay, exousia. And Paula Price has this book called God's Apostle Revived, and this is a section of what she said. She said, apostles exude authority, active or dormant. Their authority is difficult to disregard. It is the first obvious distinguishing feature. Whatever the situation, the apostle inevitably stands out. He unavoidably finds himself in charge or it is thrust upon him. He competently makes decisions and often casts the deciding vote. Apostles lead when they do not try to, are looked to and relied upon when others seek a strong hand. They command attention and provoke obedience because of God's blatant authority upon them. Extended involvement with an apostle puts you face to face with authorities, what the author wrote. Okay. Let me go back here. Okay. So the dominant anointing of the book of Acts, because that's really what we've been talking about over the past couple of days, is again about the apostolic anointing. Okay, so although the other gifts are mentioned, the apostolic office is the one that the Holy Spirit chooses to highlight. There is a reason for this. The Holy Spirit is first and foremost an apostolic spirit, because why? He is a sent spirit. And so what happened when Jesus said, I'm going to send you a comforter. Glory be to God. So the writer is saying this is like a sent spirit because he was sent by Jesus. Okay, so the book of Acts also provides the model of the New Testament church. The church, as illustrated by the book of Acts, is to be the first and foremost apostolic. So we covered a lot last week and this week about the first church of Jerusalem. Bless you. First church of Jerusalem and all the characteristics that it had of an apostolic ministry that was going on, and that I highly recommended those of us that are in ministry that to examine if the ministry God has given us examines an apostolic ministry. Does not necessarily mean, as I taught last week, does not necessarily mean that you have to have an apostle in your ministry, but if you're connected to one who's been sent, that's it. You have to be connected to one or have one that's been sent. Glory be to God. I'm seeing countlessly people. Let me say this. Let me just get in trouble early. We're using the fivefold giftings as if it is a hierarchy, or it's a place of promotion. Okay? That's the best way I can use it or say it. Good morning, Pastor. We're using the fivefold hierarchy as if it is a place of promotion, as if it is a place of hierarchy, like it's if you're working in the corporate level, like being in a corporate company and you starting off, maybe you starting off in the mailroom. And then from the mailroom, you're going, you get elevated to something else. And then from there, something else. And your, say your long-term goal is maybe to have a seat as a board of directors. Who knows? Or how about in a law firm, law firm, you may start off as a paralegal. And then from the paralegal, you may go ahead and get your law degree. From your law degree, then eventually you want to be a partner or so on and so forth, whatever hierarchy it is. But we have to understand that he said he gave some apostles and he gave some prophets, evangelists, pastors. He gave some. He didn't say, well, first you start off as a teacher and then you elevate to a pastor and then you want to search and strive for. He did not say that. He did not say that. And so, bless you, evangelist. So what we're doing, matter of fact, evangelist, did you get my email? We need to conversate today, later on. So that's what we're doing. We're using these ascension gifts, these governmental gifts, the fivefold ministry. And all of it is to what? It is to build up. It is to equip. It is to train. Amen. And that's what the early church did. Okay, and so we're striving for these things instead of mastering the function in which he called us in. But not only that, it's like I said before, we're seeking, we're finding people of I would say like-mindedness, but may not be the right-mindedness to elevate each other. Okay. We're doing a lot of elevating each other, and it's not from God. And how can I say it's not from God for many? Are they actually doing the function of which they place the title in front of their name? The gifting in front of their name? Are they actually functioning in that capacity? Check the fruit. Check the fruit, you know, and then check this out. Not only that, now we're adding other names on top of. Now we got chief apostles. Chief apostles. I thought there was only one, that was Jesus. If I'm wrong, hit me up. Put a comment in. Oh, there's only one. Now, I have a friend of mine, co-laborer in Christ, and I asked him, inboxed him. So, went from prophet to apostle to chief apostle. All in a matter of a couple of years. How do you obtain that? So I asked him, how do you become a chief apostle? And he said, well, when you affirm other apostles, you become a chief apostle. Where is that in scripture? And ain't nobody saying anything about it. And you calling them chief apostle. So now if we take that, what he told me. So that means that if a pastor ordains another pastor who would say an elder and has answered the call to pastorship, right? So if he ordains other pastors, does that make him a chief pastor? You see where I'm going with this? It makes no sense what we do. Makes no sense what we do. And we're so gullible. And we're ignorant. To accept such things. And say, look, bro, this ain't right. This ain't right. How do you get affirmed? Prophetess, Jacqueline, help me. How do you get affirmed to be a chief apostle? I need someone to help me with this. I need someone to help me with this because I don't understand it. How does someone become a master prophet? Where is that at? And so we have distorted the purpose of what God has created and meant to. Build his kingdom. That's what I want to say. We have perverted it. We have misinterpreted. And we're still dragging our religious cultures. Today we have modernized Pharisees and Sadducees in the church. Right, they're all cardinal terms. And yet we go for these. We buy into these. And the reason why I said we buy into these, because I see people that I know, even if you're not saying anything, but if you're in fellowship with them, then you must be in agreement. Must be in agreement. So I don't get it. I don't understand it at all. And it has to be talked about. You know, it has to be mentioned. It has to be mentioned. And so we got to do better. We have got to do better. I mean, we've got to do better. And so, let's go on. So, the Acts of the Apostles continue after the death of the early apostles. As God raised up other apostles to replace them, the Acts continue. The church, therefore, will experience the same results when it embraces the same spirit and anointing included in apostolic authority. Okay? I'm at a loss for words right now because it's really troubling my spirit. So you have to watch out for man-made religion. You have to watch out for the doctrines of men. You have to watch out for, and I say this often, watch out for preachers who keep asking for amen. Because amen means to agree with. And so, and I don't need you to tell me, well, I need you guys to help me preach. No. You said you called a preacher, you preach. You don't need my help. You don't need my amens. You don't need none of that. See, all this stuff is cultural stuff. It's cultural. It's religion. It's cliches. It's all that stuff. So when a preacher, even preachers get upset if you don't say amen with them. Can I get an amen? No, you can't. How about that? No. Because what you said did not agree with my spirit according to what I read in the Word of God. So no, you can't get amen. So why don't you just continue preaching or teaching? And when you say something that lines up with my spirit and what I know what the Word of God says, then you'll get amen. Because when they're getting you to say amen, or trying to force you, or they're begging you to get amen, you got to make sure what they said was really the Word of God and not the Word of God and their philosophy or not their opinions. Okay, we're not supposed to give our opinions when we minister the Word of God or when we teach. It's not supposed to be that way. Okay, so we have to watch out for leaders who want to be worshiped, leaders who want to be. We have to make sure that we. This is what's happening in churches. today is that, and this is the sheep's fault. I'm not even going to blame it. I'm not even going to blame it on the men and women of God. But we will spend money chasing these people around the world. Well, let's just say even in the United States, we'll spend money on hotels, we'll spend money on food, we'll spend money on plane tickets, we'll spend money, whatever it is to get to see who we want to see. Okay? But are we going to see them more because it's more of a celebrity status in our Christian world? Or are we going to see them because the Lord said, I need you to go because they have a word for you? Now, I live less than 10 minutes from Relentless, Pastor John Gray. And when people find out, they're like, you ain't been there yet? Nope. Well, why not? Wasn't led to go. See, we have spiritual groupies. That just flock to anyone and everyone. And I'm not saying, I have nothing against John Gray. Never met him. I don't have nothing like that whatsoever. So don't get me wrong. But if I go to Relentless, am I going to be a spectator? So am I going to be a spectator? So as soon as I get there, I'm looking around because I've never been in the building. Am I going there more concerned about how things are laid out and how they do things? And am I going there to be in awe? Or am I going there because God said, I need you to go over there because there's something I want you to see? Or more or less, he's sending me there because there's an assignment. Okay? Even when Pastor or Apostle Ron Carpenter was here, and I really wanted to go see him. So I've been here in South Carolina almost 2 years. We just never got over there. Guess it just wasn't pressing, or the Lord didn't want me to. And so you want to be led. Because we're talking about your soul being fed. Okay? We're talking about your soul being fed. So you want to be led. You want to be led. So you just don't want to bounce around and go places or, well, I'm going here. And then some of it's because sometimes people go to certain places because of the simple fact a lot of the mainstream, I almost said Christian entertainers, because that's what some of it seems to be, is Christian entertainment. And so we go, oh, because so-and-so's going to be there. And so we go and we do that. So you want to be careful. You want to be careful. Everything that they say is God is not God. And I didn't get on here today to do all this. But everything they say is God is not God. Understand his kingdom and how his kingdom operates. Okay? You have to understand. Understand the difference between religion and kingdom. Please understand that. Understand the difference between the two. We're going to talk about faithful ambassadors. Okay, still coming out of the book, Moving in Apostolic by John Eckhart. And he says, authority is one of the distinct marks of an apostle in an apostolic church. This authority is recognized in the spirit realm by angels and demons alike. It is released through preaching, teaching, prophesying, and the overall ministry of the apostle. And it is desperately needed for the church to fulfill the Great Commission. Without apostolic authority, the church will be unable to complete its mission. The kingdom of God is established, maintained, and expanded through authority that dispels darkness and set the captives free. And that's what Jesus did with the disciples in Matthew, what I just said, Matthew chapter 10. Okay? Even when he sent out the 70s in, oh my God, when he sent them out 2x2 in Luke, I believe, chapter, was that 10? I think Luke chapter 10. He sent them out 2x2s. He sent them. And when he sent them, he gave them what? He gave them authority and gave them power. He gave them exousia and he gave them dunamis. Power. Okay? So you may have the dunamis power because God has given you an assignment. When God gives you an assignment, he gives you power. He gives you dunamis power to get his assignment done. The key is that you have to make sure that you're using it with the authority at the right time and at the right place. Okay? At the right time and the right place. Okay? You have to know your assignment. Know what God is calling you to do. Please know that you have an assignment that's larger than the four walls of the local church that you attend every week. Your assignment is greater than that. Okay? If you have not been told that, if you don't know that, you know it now. It is far greater than the four walls in the church. So if you're sitting there Sunday after Sunday, midweek after midweek, and you wonder when you're going to be used by God, shame on you. Because God is in you. He ain't in them four walls. He's in you. He is in you. The kingdom of God is in you. Okay? He's in you. He's in you. And I'm going to prove it to you. If you don't believe me, I'm going to prove it to you in just a second. So the Lord Jesus sent out the 12 as ambassadors, official representatives of Christ with authority to preach the gospel, heal the sick, and cast out devils. For this purpose, Jesus entrusted them with power. They were given authority over unclean spirits and sickness. This is why you want to make sure that Jesus is sending you. The Father is sending you because, you see, if he's sending you, you're going to have authority and you're going to have power, and it doesn't matter what anybody got to say about it. So you better know that you know that you know. I joke with my wife, in your Noah, N-O-A-H, I play with it out. In your Noah, you better know. Before you get out here and you mess up something. Okay, so you better know what God is calling you to do. And you better have the confidence that you know but you have the confidence that God is sending you out to accomplish something for his kingdom. It's not about you. It's not about you. It's about doing his work. All of a sudden he can say, okay, I need you to go. All of a sudden he can have you like, oh my God, I'm thirsty. So I'm going to go to the store. And you may not even know it, but there's a divine assignment at the gas station for you. He just had to create a way for you to get up and go. An ambassador, listen to who you are. This is who you are. An ambassador is a delegate or representative who speaks for and represents the nation or organization from which the ambassador has been sent. Ambassadors are given official authority to act in this capacity. We, as ambassadors in Christ, all of us. Now, if you want a name, you want a title, okay? Ambassador. How about that? We are ambassadors to God's kingdom. We are a representative of his kingdom. And so technically, in reality, everything that we say and everything that we do as an ambassador to his kingdom, that's all it should be. We're supposed to represent God's kingdom every day, 24/7. We are his regents. We are his royal priesthood. So as we're here on this earth, we're not supposed to represent ourselves. We're supposed to be representing the King of Kings. We're supposed to be representing his government. Hmm. our lives are supposed to dictate what his government consists of here on earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So how can we find out his will so it can be done in the earth? We have to set our affections above and not beneath. We have to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's what we're supposed to do. We are ambassadors. We are supposed to be representatives. That's why we're not supposed to be operating out of the works of our flesh, because we are not of this world. We are not of this world. Watch this. An ambassador is further defined as an official envoy, a diplomatic agent or delegate of the highest rank to a foreign government. The kingdom of God is not even a visible kingdom. It's an invisible kingdom. A delegate is simply one person. Watch this. A delegate is simply one person acting for another. So as us being ambassadors of the kingdom of God, we are a delegate here on earth acting on behalf of someone else. You're right, Sister Verge. It has never been about us. It's always supposed to be about God. So if people say this to you, you so heavenly bound, you no earthly good. Well, first of all, that's where my mind's supposed to always be. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. So if we're praying to have the mind of Christ, then I'm in right position. My relational position with God is in the proper place. And now, since I'm so heavenly minded, because that's what my mind's supposed to be anyway, but since I'm here on earth, now I'm supposed to bring and reveal and declare and do what my Father says to do in the earth. So if I'm not heavenly minded, then I'm not going to do the world no good. Many of us are no earthly good because our minds are not set on things above. Exactly. Focus on those things which are above. That way we can do God's will in the earth. So you think you're holier than thou? No, the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holiness is our birthright. It is our birthright to live a life of holiness, to make it plain and simple, to be God-centered and not self-centered. If you can focus daily on being more God-centered than self-centered, then you'll have less. You'll have more victories in God if you just walked in obedience of him. Always be mindful of his word. See, we need to bring back what would Jesus do? Or how about a wristband saying, I'm a representative of Christ? Just to remind you that when you're in certain places or you think about doing certain things, you can look on your wrist. And prayerfully, it'll be such a reminder that you won't go through with what the dictates of your flesh is trying to get you to do. All right, so we're supposed to be acting on behalf of someone else. So we're here on earth acting on behalf of God. We are his ambassadors. Okay? The 12 were sent forth as official delegates of Christ with delegated power and authority. When you're in the right relational position with God, God's anointing will always be with you. So they receive specific instructions for what to do and what not to do. As ambassadors of Christ, we have specific instructions on what to do and what not to do. We have benefits by being associated in this kingdom. So they had to follow these instructions because they were not representing themselves, but Christ. And so we have to be mindful of people. We have to be mindful of leaders. Who are not being a representative of God. That's the best way I can put that. Who are not ambassadors of themselves in Christ. Any leader who who demonstrates more of a high-minded lifestyle, more of a high-minded lifestyle than a servant lifestyle, you don't need to be associated with them. You notice when Paul wrote, he always explained who he was. And the closer it came to his death, you saw how much lower he presented himself as. He said he was the chief of sinners. He was the lowest of servants. So to look at Paul's life and to see how God used him is because, and used him so mightily, is because he stayed in a low position. He stayed in a bowed position. He stayed in a prostrate position before the Lord. So if we stay in the humble position, what the Bible says is that he will exalt us. He will exalt us. All we gotta do is stay humble. Stay meek. Glory be to God. Don't allow other people to elevate you. And allow God to do it. Now watch this. A wicked messenger falls into trouble. This is Proverbs 13:17. A wicked messenger falls in trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings health. So faithful apostles bring healing and deliverance with their message. They speak with power and authority because of whom they represent, but they must be faithful to the message committed to them. They are sent by the Lord, not man. They may cause them to fall out of favor with some, but they must be faithful to the one who sent them. Look, this just don't go for apostles. This goes for everybody who have accepted Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. You are a minister of reconciliation. You are also an ambassador of the King of Kings, King, the King with capital K, and we are kings with the small K. He is our King. We're all kings, whether you're male or female. You're all kings. Okay, because in the spiritual realm, there is no male or female. So we're all kings. And we have to be obedient to the one that sent them. We can't be worried about who don't like us, who don't think this, and whatever. Okay? You have to make sure that you're faithful to the one that sent you. Okay? Have to make sure of that. You want to make sure of that. Now, I mentioned, and then I'm going to be done. I mentioned about the kingdom of God is within you. Now, Pastor Tori, she knows, I covered this quickly on our service on Sunday. About the kingdom of God, what the kingdom of God is and what the kingdom of God is not. This Sunday, I'm going to be ministering about kingdom character, okay? Because you can have all the power and you can have all the authority from heaven, but if your character is whack, it makes no difference what you bring. It makes no difference what you bring. So I'm going to have some notes on Sunday so people can take them home. Amen. And ponder and make sure your character can bring you provision, can bring you money, resources, and you can have bad credit, but your character is outstanding. You may have hit a season where financially things just went bad for you. It's not even your character, but your integrity, that you mean what you say and you do what you want to do. You know, you do what you say that you're going to do. Has a lot of value to it. And so you want to make sure, amen, once a man or woman of God, once their character is shot, is messed up, is damaged, that thing is hard to recover. Because people don't forget. And people like to remind you. Okay, let me do this real quick. All right. So really, it comes from Romans chapter 14. And the discussion was about formalism. Formalism is, you know, people just trying to lock you in, let's say, to all the old covenant stuff. You know, what you can eat, what you shouldn't eat. And, you know, well, Leviticus says this and all this other stuff. But then Jesus said that it doesn't matter what you eat. Okay? We're not going to have no formalism. We're not going to have no, you're not going to come up with your own decrees and things of that nature. You're not going to do that and try to tell me what I can't eat and so forth. So it goes through Romans 14. It goes through back and forth. I'm not going to read it all because of time, you know, but it says, let us no more criticize and blame and pass judgment on one another, but rather decide and endeavor never to put a stumbling block or an obstacle or a hindrance in the way of a brother. So don't put your own ideologies on me of what you think should be, and it becomes a stumbling block for me that makes me want to turn away from even pursuing God or put something in front of me that really has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Okay, and we have a lot of that today. We have a whole lot of that today. And I'm not even going to read the key verse yet because I'm going to come to it. So what is the kingdom of God? It's not meat or drink, okay, which is the key verse, Romans 14, 17. For God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put in your mouth, okay? That's the message, but for goodness sake, it said it is not the kingdom of God. So if you choose not to eat what we call bottom feeder foods, shrimp, catfish, crabs, all that other stuff, which, you know, back in the old days in the Old Testament, they were not allowed to eat those things. Okay? But we're living a whole new covenant now, people. Okay? Wake up. We live in a new covenant. We don't live in an old covenant. Some of us do. Some of us teeter-totter back and forth between the two. But Jesus came and gave us a better covenant. Hallelujah. He gave us a better covenant. Okay, he fulfilled the old. The old is no longer in, it's no longer existed. The glory of the new covenant never fades. The glory of the old covenant that was on Moses faded. All right, let me move on from that point. So it's what God does with your life as he sets it right, puts it together, and completes it with joy. I don't like that. Let me change translations real quick so you can really understand what I'm saying here. Let's see. Romans. Romans 14. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness, which is your conduct, your godly conduct, and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It has nothing to do with food. Food does not represent the kingdom of God. And that's what they're trying to, you know, don't put the stumbling block on people. Okay? Don't let people tell you what you can and cannot eat. But I will say use wisdom, because we know everything that we put in our belly is so much, so many things are processed now, it's not even good for us. I'm going to tell you something funny real quick. That my daughter asked me to cook her some eggs one day, and she said she wanted some cheese. And so I put the cheese in there, and the cheese was not melted. I was like, this is so processed. Why does not the cheese melt? So that was just a little funny input. So we don't want to put stumbling blocks in front of one another, because kingdom of God has nothing to do with food or meat. It's not the kingdom of God. It said it's righteousness, it's peace and joy. Where? In the Holy Spirit, not in the world. Kingdom of God is not of this world. And I'm jumping ahead on that. So, in the kingdom of God is not flesh and blood. Well, let me go back to Romans 14:18. Let me go back there. He says, for he that is these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approve of them. Okay? We're supposed to serve Christ. This is who we're supposed to serve. All right. So the next thing, kingdom is not. Kingdom is not flesh and blood. 1 Corinthians 15:50. But I tell you this, brother, flesh and blood cannot become partakers of eternal salvation and inherit or share. Inherit or share in the kingdom of God. Nor does the perishable, that which is decaying, inherit or share anything that is alive. Our bodies, it's not going to inherit heaven. This thing is decaying every day. When you wake up and your joints are cracking, your knees are aching, hips hurt, all this other stuff, my dad tell me, keep living. You're going to experience the twins. He called Arthur. He says arthritis, Arthur and Ritis. They're twins. He said, congratulations, you're still living. And so it's not flesh and blood. Okay? We gotta stop acting like heaven is a family reunion. Okay? There is no mother and father in heaven. Okay, none of these things exist. Those things are here for the earth. It's here for the earth, for us here in the world. Kingdom of God. And we gotta stop putting people in heaven, rest in peace, rest in heaven. And you know they did not have a relationship with God. You know they didn't have a relationship with God. You know they were far apart from God. His word said the righteous will scarcely get in. So what do you think about the sinner man? So. John 3:6 says, what is born of the flesh is flesh. Of the physical is physical. And what is born of the spirit is spirit. Okay? Because in our culture, now we're wearing shirts, t-shirts on funerals with the deceased picture on it and rest in heaven. There was a hellion. They was in darkness. They lived in darkness. Their whole life they lived did not represent God in no way, shape, or form. You probably even partied with them a couple of times when you shouldn't have been. But we want to put everybody in heaven like hell does not exist. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but y'all need to wake up. Y'all got to wake up. This is not so. This is not so. You read Matthew 7:21-23. God needs a vessel for his will to be done on earth, because he gave, even though the earth is his and the fullness thereof, but he gave Adam and Eve dominion. Okay? And so God will use anyone that's willing, but it doesn't mean that they have a right relationship with him. Catch that now. So as you're applauding and you chasing all these people around the world because they have gained great influence in the earth, but doesn't mean, you don't know what their lives are. You don't know what their fruit is. You only see what we see on TV, on TBN and Daystar and all this stuff, we only see what the cameras show. We don't live with them. You don't know what God sees when nobody else sees. Just like our own lives. Just like our own lives. Who are you when it's just you and God? What are you watching? What are you thinking? What are you doing? That's the true integrity test before the eyes of God. Job said, try my integrity. Bless you. Try my integrity. That's what Job said. Try it. He's talking about, I ain't slept with no woman. I ain't done none of these things. He's like, try my integrity. David said, search me. Our hearts are so deceitful. So even if you have the audacity to think that you're good, you already been deceived by your own heart. Already been deceived. Have God search your heart and expose any hidden things that have not been revealed to you. And that's why I try to be so cautious and not put my mouth on anyone, because I understand and know the patience and the long suffering and the mercy that he had for me. And that's why I love God's people. I love God's people. And when people can't see the good in them, I thank God that he has gifted me to at least seek discernment on how God sees them. God didn't create crackheads. God didn't create prostitutes, whoremongers, adulterers, fornicators, gossipers, backbiters, those who sow discord, those of you who like to bring division. God didn't create homosexuality. That's all from sin. So you may not cheat on your wife. You may be faithful. But do you gossip? Do you have unforgiveness in your heart? Is there any malice? Do you backbite? Let's see, we always seem to point out the physical sexual perversion, but we don't talk about the other stuff that you do. We play with God. That's what we're doing. We're playing with God, and we want God to conform to us because we're too rebellious to conform to his word. Yeah, we'll go to church every Sunday because it's a religious thing that we do. But is your life changed? Are you changing your life? Are you renewing your mind? Are you repenting? A true repentance is to change your mind from doing the sinful things that you've done and to not return back to it again. So no matter how much we dress up this flesh, it's dying. It is decaying. Heaven will not have anything that's dying, that's dead. That's why our bodies will be changed into immortality, never die, always have life. The kingdom of God is not of this world. John 18:36, Jesus answered, my kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. He said, if it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders, but my kingdom is not of this world. In other words, Jesus was saying, if it was of this world, then I wouldn't have to leave you. I would not have to leave you. But it's not of this world. So, the kingdom of God is what? The kingdom of God cannot be entered without being what? Born of spirit and of water. John 3:5, and John answered, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, unless a man is born of water and even the spirit, he cannot ever enter the kingdom of God. Watch this, Ezekiel 36 and 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away, and you will no longer worship idols. And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take out your stony heart, stubborn heart, and give you a tender, responsive heart, and I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees and be careful to obey my regulations. You see that part where I just read verse 26, and I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you, and I will take out your stony heart, stubborn heart, and give you a tender heart, responsive. Responsive what? Responsive to his will, responsive to his word, responsive to his voice. So you can't say you have a tender heart, you have a heart of flesh, when you're still stubborn, you're still hard-headed, and you don't want to obey the word of God. You don't want to treat people right. You don't want to forgive people. You don't want to do all those things. And then yet you're going to go before God and you're going to pray and ask for forgiveness, but he forgives us based on how we forgive other people. So no matter how bad the situation was with someone else, no matter how traumatic the event can be, still it's still the same as if you don't forgive them and you're seeking God forgive. God's forgiveness for us is conditional, based on how we forgive others. Just like when he's talking about judging people, the same way we judge people, that same measure that we judge people, he's going to judge us. So just because people don't line up according to what you believe is right, what you believe is right, and that's the problem. We're judging people based on us and not the word of God. You can judge me based on the word of God. I don't have no problems with it. Because one, it's not your opinion, and it's not your ideologies. It's the word of God. What kind of stones is in your heart today? Who do you hate? Who do you not like? What's going on in your heart? I used the illustration the other day, and praise God, I've never had to pass no gallstones or kidney stones, none of that stuff. Glory be to God. No kidney stones. But if you got those stones in your heart, you need to pass. You gotta let those things pass through. And they hurt. And they hurt. You say, Andre, you don't know what they've done to me. It doesn't matter. There's no way none of us will ever experience what Jesus experienced for us. So you can keep all that. You can keep all them excuses. Pick up your cross. Deny yourself. Paul said, I want to experience the death power and the rest. He said, I want to experience the death, the death, burial, and resurrection, the power of that of Christ. I'm paraphrasing. That's what he wants to experience. There's no way you can be a follower of Christ and not expect to go through some trials and some tribulations. He's the perfect example. He's the perfect example. A lot of us talk too much. A lot of us feel that we have to have the last word. I ain't gonna let that person have the last word. That's pride. Humble yourself. You're probably debating with a fool. You're probably having a debate with someone who don't even have the love of God in them. So why are you doing it? Why are you wasting your time? You're supposed to be dead. You're supposed to be lost. You're supposed to be gone. You're supposed to be hidden in Christ. So why is their pride showing? What is the kingdom of God? And I just read it. All right. So the kingdom of God is what? It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So after all, the kingdom of God is not a matter of getting the food and drink one likes, but instead it is righteousness, the state which makes a person acceptable to God. To not only seek you first the kingdom of God, but also seek his righteousness, the things that make you acceptable to God. And so even in you should be confessing to God and asking God, search my heart. Search the deceitfulness of my heart. Expose to me things that I don't even know about myself that is lodged inside of me. And I want you to first expose it to me and let me know what it is. And now I want you to remove it. Don't ever let me think I'm better. I have a problem. I'm not really like fond of taking a lot of pictures, but I question people who always taking selfies. I question that. Because underneath all these little smiles and all the makeup and all the stuff that we put on, what is your heart like? Why don't we take a picture of our heart through the lens of God's eyes? How about that one? Why don't we do an MRI, a spiritual MRI on our heart, and then post that on Facebook, post that on Instagram and Twitter, Snapchat, LinkedIn, and whatever else is out there, Tumblr. Do that. How about standing in the mirror in the morning and say, Father, show me according to your eyes. Because my eyes are lying to me. We're so concerned with our outward appearance, but our heart is horrible. How we talk to people. How we treat people. You know, a woman can be knocked out dead gorgeous, but when she opens her mouth, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. What's in her heart is being released, which makes her then an ugly person. Because that outside beauty will fade. It will fade. The kingdom of God is what? It is within you. It's among you. Luke 17:21. Nor will people say, look here it is, or see it is there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you, is within your heart and among you, surrounding you. So not only what I was saying in service, I said, look around you, the kingdom of God is all in this place. Kingdom of God is within you. It's within you. Are you born of the Spirit and of water? So if we're going to say the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, there's no depression, there's no fear, there's no anxieties, there's no sin, there's no darkness. I'm paraphrasing, but I believe in the book of James, it said, God is light, and in him there is no darkness. So you can't say that the kingdom of God is in you if you're still out there doing wickedness. You're still out there doing sinful things. The kingdom of God is not in you because that's not of God. There is no darkness in God. Many of us have the audacity to take time out for God to satisfy our flesh. Been there, done it. And we toy around with God as if he can't strike us dead right then and there. We have flat out disrespected our Father on many occasions, as if he's not even real. That as if he's not able to release his wrath on us. What else is the kingdom of God? This is my last point. The kingdom of God is what? It's not words, but it's power. It's power. It's power that releases miracles, signs, and wonders. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's another characteristic of the kingdom of God. It's another representation of the kingdom of God. First Corinthians 4:20. This is the Weymouth translation, Weymouth, for you Bible scholars. It says, "For apostolic authority is not a thing of words, but of power." So we can have all these different type of preachers and everything who have a charismatic gift to get people to stand on their feet, to shout and everything else. But is there any power being demonstrated in the place? I ain't talking about all the emotionalism, because we take emotionalism. We say, "Oh my God, church was so anointed." Was it really? And people still leaving out in chains. People still leaving out in fetters. People still in bondage. No one committed their life to Christ. No one came to the altar for repentance. Oh my God, but the anointing was so... The anointing comes to break yokes. To heal the brokenhearted. To set the captives free. The anointing comes to advance the kingdom of God for his people. The new Living Translation says, "For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, it is living by God's power." Yeah, that's all my notes. So don't let people put a stumbling block. Don't let all these modern day Pharisees and Sadducees put these laws, their little man-made laws on you and all this other stuff. No. Know the word for yourself. A lot of these ministries are doing things and they don't even know why. You know why they're doing? Because it's been passed down from generation to generation. And it has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. Man-made stuff. Man-made stuff. So be watchful. Be watchful of what you entertain. Amen. We're supposed to be going forth doing God's work. It's what we're supposed to be doing. You should be, wherever you are, you should be, are you being trained and equipped to eventually be sent out to do the work? Or are they keeping you in? Are they holding you? Are you like a puppet and the pastor is, what's the puppet master's name? What's the puppet? I can't pronounce his name right. But the one who created Pinocchio, is that your pastor? And he's just holding you, dangling you around. You sitting in those four walls, waiting for an opportunity to minister. Well, outside the four walls, everywhere you go is a place to minister his word. That's not how the kingdom of God works. That's not kingdom. Kingdom is about relationships. It's what I call it. Sometimes you might find yourself in a place. First of all, you may be in a place God didn't even tell you to go. How about that? you may be in a place God did not even tell you to go. It's just the choir seemed good. It seemed better than the last ministry you was in. And so you just felt, well, I think this is a safe place, so I do that. You ain't even consult God. None whatsoever. We ask the wrong questions when it comes down to choosing a ministry. We ask the wrong questions. We do. And I said I was going to be done. Now I feel like I'm on a roll. So I might as well just keep on making people mad. Alright. Watch this. I'm gonna go over this. And I think Pastor Tori, you think you remember this. But it's traditional churches versus fathers and sons. Or daughters. Okay. So when I say sons, sons and daughters. Okay. Not meaning male or female. Okay. I mean meaning male and female. We're gonna put that in there. Okay. Wrong questions to ask. Okay. And this is what we've all probably done. What church should I join? Which is the friendliest church? Maybe the last church is mean. So now in your heart is like, okay, I need to find a friendly church. Okay. Where do my friends go to church? Where does my family go to church? Who is the best preacher? Which church has the best praise music? I know people who go to Pastor Marvin Winer's church just because of the singing. Which church has, let me see, no, okay, I said which church has the best praise music? Where should I become a member? Kingdom of God has nothing to do with membership. Who has the best children's program? Because if you have small kids, you want to know if they got something for the kids. Who is the best teen ministry? You got young teenagers. So you want to make sure there's something for them. Wrong questions. Where will my gifts most be needed? So now you're thinking selfishly. Because why? You weren't used at the last ministry, but probably because God didn't tell you to go there either. Last wrong question. Which church has room for my talents? So now you want to be in the spotlight. These are wrong questions. Let me give you some better questions to ask. Who is my spiritual father? Now you have to have listened to, heard the previous information before I got to these questions. But who's my spiritual father? What pastor or leader is God knitting my heart to? Knitting my heart to. Who is my spiritual mentor? What man, and I'll say, or woman, how about this? What man and woman of God am I assigned to? Pastor Tori, I got something from our Pastor Tori, Pastor Tanny and I went to have a meeting with Pastor Jim, and I'm going to share our conversation. It's going to blow your mind. All right. So he says, what man of God, but I'm saying, what man and woman of God am I assigned to? Who is my Elijah? Who is my Elisha? Who am I a Timothy to? Who is Paul to me? I know some of this don't make sense. What spiritual father am I to serve and sow my life into? Which pastor is it the will of God for me to sit under? To whom am I yoked? Are you yoked up with the right person God wants you to be yoked up with? With whom am I aligned by God in the kingdom? With whom am I supposed to be aligned with by God in the kingdom? Who am I supposed to be a son or daughter to? Where is my spiritual father? Does that mean they have to be in the same state? Because we've been conditioned. We've been conditioned that if I'm not a member here, then I have to be a member somewhere. We've been conditioned to membership. Let me see. I wanted to shed some light on some of this stuff. Ephesians. I just need you guys to read Ephesians 4, starting at verse 7 through 16. And 1 Corinthians 4, 14 through 21. I'm really dealing with, scripture says you have, it's really dealing with sonship. Not membership, but sonship. Glory be to God. And so that you can get to understand of what I was just saying. But the question I said, those are not, we need to seek God. God, where do you want me to serve? Who do you want me to serve under? Who do you want me to sow into? Not where should I join? Where's the friendliest church? Where do my friends go? Because my friends go there, then maybe I should go there too. No. Where does my family go? That's a big no-no. Who's the best preacher? A lot of times we... Let me say this. A lot of times, by us being associated with someone well-known, gives us a false sense. A false sense of of value. A false sense of value. I go to T.D. Jakes Church amongst all those thousands of people, but because of the name, it's a false sense that you are somebody instead of you knowing that you're somebody. You're already somebody. I go to John Gray's show. I go to Relentless. Ooh, wait. Oh, Relentless. John Gray. Oh, wow. That's great. Really? Is your life being changed? Being transformed? Is your mind being renewed? So these things you want to watch out for. Who's your spiritual father or mother? What pastor or leader is God knitting your heart to? Okay. These kind of questions take church out of the realm of business as usual and impart true power, true purpose, power, and destiny. A revelation of spiritual fatherhood and spiritual sonship or daughtership, I would say, will take us out of church as usual. So the answers to these kind of questions would take the church out of the realm of competition, out of the realm of politics, out of the realm of frustration, out of the realm of power struggles, and out of the realm of comparing ourselves to one another. What do pastors do? On the norm, religious-minded pastors, they count membership. They compete with each other. They examine each other's physical buildings. Religious-minded people are really not concerned so much about building the people of God. They're more concerned about building a better edifice, more beautiful, more state-of-the-art. Not all of them, but some of them. Okay? So that's it. That's it. Those of you who came on late, you can catch the replays and catch the beginning of it. I was talking about apostolic authority and faithful ambassadors, and then I started talking about the kingdom of God, what it is and what it is not. Amen. So I want you guys to have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Next week, I will not be on Sunrise because of the advancing the. We got a conference next Saturday, my God. Iron Sharpen Iron here in Greenville, South Carolina. I did post, if you go back through the comments, I did post a link if you want to come. Teaching on Am I a Seer? We got one called The Chosen Watchman. We're going to talk about the spiritual five senses. We're going to talk about the difference between a prophet and the office of a prophet and gifts of prophecy. There's going to be prophetic activation, prayer. You want to come out. It's only $15. It's going to feed you lunch. It's at the Sterling Hope Center, 709 Dunbar Street in Greenville, starting at 9 o'clock. And we're going to go till about 3. Lord, we got to probably be a little longer based on how many people show and how the Lord wants us to move. We got awesome worship by my sister Jackie Christofferson. And so it's going to be great, great, great. So if you're not doing anything or you just are like, man, I need to go, it's a Body of Christ ministry. So don't ask me about denomination. What's my denomination? Jesus. All of that's, Jesus is our common denominator. So I don't care what denomination you are, if you believe in Jesus Christ, all that little man, all the man stuff of misinterpretation of scripture that causes division. No, don't ask me what denomination I am. Jesus, that's who I am. The kingdom, that's who I am. All right. You're not going to put me in a box. Because we don't even fellowship with each other once we find out what denomination or what church. Or what church you belong to. No, you're not going to put me in a box like that. I'm your brother in Christ. That's who I am. Okay? Get to know me. Not by association of a church or a pastor. Get to know me. And see my fruit. Measure me by the fruit. That's what I say. Measure me by the fruit. So I'm not going to do that because, and then I do, we do have a Kingdom Ministers Institute where I train the people of, we have a little school that we train those as part of this ministry. And so it would be too much of a workload for me because I have to prepare for two sessions next week. So it would not be no sunrise next week at all, but we will return the following week. So until then, everybody have a great weekend. And hopefully you can see, matter of fact, you can see it on the Facebook events page. Activating the Prophetic in You, Part 2, Iron Sharpens Iron. And so you can just check that out for August 3rd. August 3rd. So we'd love to for you come out. If you can't come out and you're like, hey, man, I want to sponsor somebody, $15, go ahead and sign up at the link. I'll type it in one more time. And just inbox me and say, man, I can't come, but I appreciate your ministry. And I want to sow into someone's life, and I will make sure that someone will be notified to come, who wants to come. And I would greatly appreciate it. This is, like I said before, it's the Body of Christ ministry. It has nothing to do with Andre Fullwood. It has all to do with the kingdom, equipping, training, and sending forth. Amen. So God bless you once again, and take care.